I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hello and welcome to Maths Hysteria, a podcast all about Married at First Sight with me, Omar Abid, Sarah Clark, at Sarah Clark Celebrates on Instagram, and Claire Limmer Abid. You alright?
Morning.
I'm alright.
Yeah.
You alright?
Yeah.
What's wrong?
Do you want to tell your face?
I think after the high drama of the dinner party last night, especially the first half of it, just felt a bit flat.
It did.
But we've become addicts now, so we need bigger fixes to get. It's like, oh, a little bit of drama. There were some parts of me that stood out. Like, I guess we'll come to it, but Paul C. Brunson had a moment, didn't he?
Oh, that was good.
I really liked that.
Bianca and JJ.
Yeah, I really liked that. So I'm trying to remember who sat down on the couch first.
I think it was
a tricky one, that. I can't remember.
Mark and Sean, I think.
I think it was Mark and Sean, yeah. And actually, like your tweet said, they're doing better than we might have thought.
Yeah, I like Mark more than I thought I would originally.
I'm just thinking, yeah, because that was the first tweet. Yes, that's how we can remember who went first. So yeah,
they were sweet. Like Mark still did that hesitation, which I don't think Sean was expecting. When Sean was like, "Oh yeah, I really fancied him at first sight. It was great. There was a spark." And when they asked Mark, "Did you feel the same way?" and he took a big pause. Sean was doing that thing of like, "Oh, you've paused."
That's a long pause.
But
yeah,
thinking that he'd then back it up with like, "Yeah, of course I did." But Mark's still playing it quite cool.
I think that was the correct way to handle it from Sean. Like we've seen people who feel they're not. Their partner doesn't find them attractive, and he's sort of played it off with a bit of lightness, which I think is good because it's not putting loads of pressure on Mark.
Totally.
You know, just being like outraged and offended that, and they've probably had this conversation, and Mark has said, you know, it's growing. So what else is there to do other than to laugh a little bit at the huge pause?
In many ways, you couldn't magic a better partner for Mark than Sean.
Yeah.
He's such a lovely, chilled guy.
He's so down to it.
Yeah. He's so understanding. He's good looking and sweet and all the things that Mark would want him to be, but also just so chill.
Yeah.
Happy to handle him. Happy to handle Mark. So yeah, it was quite a sweet little insight into that they're going well.
I like them.
Yeah, I do. Like I say, I'm surprised that I like Mark as much as I do, given our first impressions of him. Maybe they've been overshadowed. Well, definitely they've been overshadowed by the drama. So
definitely.
We'll see if we get any more of Mark's diva tendencies now they're living together.
I've just remembered something we did see. We saw them before they were getting ready for the curtain ceremony, and Sean was like, "Fun night," and Mark was like, "I loved it." he was like, oh, I loved it, wasn't he? It was so funny, he was lapping it up. So yeah, they're all in.
You were quite surprised that they'd moved in the day after the dinner party.
Well, yeah, because that seems like the worst time to move in, doesn't it? You've been to this dinner party and maybe you've got a bit drunk and maybe you're a bit hungover, but also you've probably got a drama hangover from everything that happened. Then you've got to move in together. Mm-hmm. And you're going to be barely there before you then have to rock up to the commitment ceremony for like 10 hours.
But I do think the interlopers do get such a short straw.
Yeah.
Because if you're in the whole time, yeah, obviously some people come and go, like we'll all have half forgotten like Portia and Terence by now. But I think if you're one of the interlopers, it just feels quite rushed. Mm. You get thrown into a lot of like animosity if we look at Erica and Tasha, because you do have people get their backs up a little bit of like, who are these new people? How dare they?
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, it's quite rushed moving in and trying to get through all those, like, you're not going to meet the in-laws because you've just come from the wedding. Like, in terms of the weeks of, like, commitment week and...
Yeah, their week
is... Big secret week. I can't remember what all the weeks are called.
No, what's this one? Love, hate week or something. But their weeks are always going to be different, aren't they, I suppose? You're right.
It just feels like they're just playing catch-up and it's just a bit, like, shoehorned in to some extent.
Yeah, this is week 5 of 9.
So and they're in week 1 of 4, so it's just like, they get such a short... Anyway, I would be a bit annoyed. I remember Sophie saying when we interviewed her, when she found out she was one of the latecomers, you feel a bit like, well, why have I been picked to come in late?
And this year, Mark and Sean and Adrian and Matt are even later than...
Erica and Jordan,
Bianca and JJ. They're even later again, aren't they?
Oh, yeah, Bianca and JJ were one of the latecomers, and they've had this huge storyline. And then they've already... Anyway, so who was next on the sofa after Mark and Sean? Was it like Luke and Jay?
I think it might have been Thomas and Roz.
Oh,
and the big box of sex toys.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting that at all. I wasn't expecting that at all. They just, for me, and I've said this before, like they're such a lovely slow burn because every week it just looks stronger. It looks more sort of flirtatious and cute and cozy. Like, they just feel, like, quite comfortable with each other.
Yeah.
And he didn't shy away when she was talking about the big box of sex toys. He sort of giggled and leant into it, didn't he?
It wasn't a no, was it?
No, definitely wasn't a no.
It's a shame they weren't in a slightly better position. Was it last week, Intimacy Week?
A couple of weeks ago, I think, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
With Charlene coming round.
Yeah, because then instead of just doing...
Maybe that's the box she's talking about. Maybe Charlene left a box being like, open this when you're ready. Week 7, week 8.
Yeah, maybe because all we saw was the hugging and the stare gazing, which we said Rose in particular sort of did it as a tick box exercise. Yeah. Whereas now they've got a... Dick box exercise.
Dick box. Oh my gosh. Have you been watching In Between Us or something? Yeah, no, they seem like the sort of couple you'd meet in the pub, like just a normal, I don't want to say everyone's abnormal, but they just seem like boy and girl next door sort of vibes. Just very chill, very cute.
Yeah.
It's quite nice when they're on screen because you think, oh, this could work.
You can see the beginnings though. I don't know if you've seen Thomas's Instagram recently. He's jacked up and I can see the beginnings of him starting to put some muscle on.
Oh, really?
And I think it's because I mentioned that to Claire. I think it's because they've got nothing else to do. There's a gym in that complex.
Yeah, because the time frame, he must have started when they were filming.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because it's only, what, October now? And when did they finish? Maybe July?
Shona said she left in April.
Yeah.
June, July.
Mm.
Anyway.
So he must have started. So I think, you know, could be Matt's influence.
Matt's influence. George is very into his fitness. Mm. I thought George's response of putting his hand over his
head. That really made me laugh when they were talking about the sex toys and he was like looking out through two fingers. And that's George. Like, you wouldn't expect George to react
I said. Why are you cringing? You talked about a lot of things.
I think it was more the awkwardness of Thomas having to do it. I know George is obviously confident talking about that stuff, so he's not bothered about doing it himself, but seeing a mate do it and seeing your mate being awkward.
He didn't seem that awkward though.
No, he handled it. Handled it quite well.
Yeah.
But the whole dynamic is so funny because it's like, imagine it was like the experts were the teachers and they're the pupils and it's like a sex ed class. Like, in what world are you brought to the front and told to tell your own like wants and needs and desires? Like, it's just funny. And it's like, I would be giggling on the sofa.
Well, wasn't there a thing, was it last year or the year before, when they sort of got told off a bit from Charlene because they were all just giggling about something.
She was like, sex
and Charlene was something like, come on, we're all adults.
Yeah.
I can't remember what it was, but they all had a little giggle.
I remember Definitely last year in the Australian one where Alessandra.
Oh, maybe it was.
It was Alessandra. Oh. Yeah, because I did it, but she did an amazing thing just to the boys. Do you remember when she took the boys off and was talking about you need to ask the right questions? And
okay.
Does anyone know where the G spot is?
And, she was like saying Australian men just have no game.
Yeah.
They're all like, they're not like charming and romantic and don't sweep you off your feet and all this. And all the guys were like, but I get loads of birds.
What's her benchmark though? What's Alessandra? Is she
Italian or Spanish?
No, I think she's South American. Yeah, like Colombian or something. I'm not sure exactly where.
So
yeah.
Maybe her benchmark's quite high.
Well, yeah.
Anyway, so next would it be?
I think then maybe there seemed to be basically it was divided into two halves. Everyone who was kind of doing well and wasn't involved in dinner party drama, they got out of the way first, and there was sort of a transition with Erica and Tasha's conversation. So before that, I think we still had Luke and Jay and Matt and Adrienne.
It was interesting watching Luke and Jay because they were told the same thing they were told last week. Yes. But sometimes you need to be told something a few times before it really lands. Mm-hmm. So last week they were told, stop worrying about the distance. Yeah. You'll cross that bridge when you come to it. But I really liked what Mel said this week about if you think about the distance and you don't work on the feelings, you'll get to the end and the feelings won't be strong enough to even worry about the distance. Well, she said it better than that, obviously.
Well, I thought that was quite succinct. Well done.
she said it really well and it made so much sense. But I can totally understand that. I can totally understand like jumping the gun and thinking, well, do I really want to get involved? Do I really want to give my complete self away, like my heart away? Because he lives in Essex and I live in Burnley.
But I think when your friends and family come, naturally those types of conversations are going to come up because your mind is going to be thinking about how he fits with your family, how she fits with your friends and family or what have you, and then you're bound to just start to picture what life might look like. So it was bound to happen for them this week. I think
it was interesting though that I thought Luke said my mate said he can't move, he's not going to move, and you pointed out you said that.
Like, I know, you said you're not moving.
Yeah.
So don't blame your mate. Yeah. And also, he doesn't really get to choose. It's not your mate's choice whether you move or not.
No, I thought you meant Luke.
Yeah, Luke gets to choose, not his mate.
Yeah, the friends are always annoying. I always just would like to be inside people's heads at this point because I would say, for example, with Luke and Jay, who seem to be going really well, they're very couple-y, you know, they've been living together for a month, they're intimate, they really like each other. I'd love to be inside their heads. Are they still thinking of this as an experiment or do they genuinely feel like they're in a committed relationship? Because when they talk about will this work outside, I'm like, well, if I was sat on the sofa with someone's arm around me saying I was falling for them, there's no way I wouldn't be thinking that it would be going on outside. I wouldn't be thinking of it as a separate experiment to my real life. But maybe with the cameras around, you do. I'm not sure. I just love to be inside their heads sometimes when they can almost distance real life and the experiment from each other. I don't know if I'd be able to do that,
but I think it would be so easy.
Do you think?
I think that would be easy to do because you're not at work.
Yeah.
You don't live in your own home. You're not around your own family. You're not around your own friends.
Yeah.
You're not in your own town or city doing the things you'd normally be doing day to day. It's kind of like you're on holiday. Kind of like a sabbatical from life.
It's like suspended reality.
Yeah.
If I was going on there, I would almost think, I wouldn't even be thinking about the person I was about to marry. I'd just be thinking, right, I'm going to be doing this max 3 months. And then I'll go back to whatever I'm doing. And I don't, you sort of just think, oh, this is a...
Oh, you're old romantic.
You'd be invested in the marriage from day one, Omar.
But that's it. And then, obviously, loads of things are going to happen during that 3 months. But I would just be thinking, yeah, this is a 3 month sort of weird holiday that I'm doing, a weird experience, and not thinking beyond that, really. I sort of imagine, you know, like when people think about the future, what they think about is like spaceships and even bigger iPhones. But the things that don't change, the thing that they never think of is themselves being older.
Right.
You know what I mean? They can't integrate the whole picture of what they're thinking about.
Yeah, they're just thinking like the Busted song, year 3000. Not much has changed, but we live underwater. Yeah, I guess everyone's different. I think I would just... The intimacy of living together is what gets me. Like a month living in close quarters with someone, sharing a bathroom, sharing a kitchen, like making each other a morning cup of tea. Like you're living as such a married couple. I can't imagine not caring, but people who think, oh, it might just end at the end. I'm like, but you're sort of like in a committed long-term relationship, sped up.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I do, and I also wonder about how age and reality TV play a part.
Yeah, maybe.
Kind of maybe, what you maybe. Want afterwards, really.
Yeah, maybe, maybe. Little, yeah. Pretty Little Thing contract or something.
Yeah, exactly.
So, shall we go on to Laura and Arthur?
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. So.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, my view changed as their time on the couch went on. But I was starting to think, does anyone ever ask anything or criticise Laura in these situations? It's always like, oh, well, we get over these the lies that Arthur's told and things, these white lies and stuff. And then, to be fair, it came up to Laura being like, oh, yeah, I've been testing him and I've had my walls up and things. I'm like, oh, okay, here we go then, you know.
The little white lies felt like it was just one or two and it was a little knee-jerk thing. It didn't feel like it was systemic in Arthur's personality of, like, just being a liar.
That just feels like so long ago
exactly.
to me.
I know, doesn't it? I think,
it's like, what has happened with them since then? Yeah. Nothing really. Yeah. So maybe that's why we're still thinking about that.
I find Arthur really, really sweet. And then me and my sister were talking about it and it was like, is he just like a little sidekick buddy? Or would you take him seriously as like a long-term romantic partner? Because he's so endearing and and I don't mean to patronise him because I think he's really, really nice. But do you think Laura takes him seriously as an equal partner and someone she could build a life with? Or do you think it's, oh, he's sweet, he's attentive?
I think it's probably that. I think she, at the moment, she's pleased that the different type she has requested is working out to a certain extent.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it's going to go beyond that.
Yeah, there's something where it feels like an imbalance. And and it's unfair to talk about the intelligence level because I don't necessarily think it's that. But there feels like a little imbalance. They're actually, so she's 34, he's 34. They're actually exactly the same age. But there's sort of, she sort of holds herself in a different way. And maybe she's got more life experience having come out of a marriage already. Mm. There's something where he feels like this really sweet sidekick and to her main character.
I know what you mean.
It's not necessarily intelligence, but I do think it's something in that realm where I think she's quite well read and just has. Yeah. I think it's an interest issue.
Yeah.
Maybe she just has interests that he doesn't share. Like, you know, when he was on the balcony with his mates last week and saying, you know, a lot of stuff I don't know what she's talking about. Like, you know, if she's talking about politics and philosophy or whatever, it's not that he couldn't necessarily understand those things. He just might not be interested in
them. Yeah. And maybe just isn't as, so therefore he wouldn't be as animated in those conversations as her or as kind of philosophical about these things as she is because he's just not that bothered. It's not something that's as bigger part of his life, maybe.
But then she's recognising in him quite like a nice sturdiness. Like he's there, he's present, he shows up, he looks after him. There is that about him. He does seem just really lovely and solid and dependable, maybe is the word I'm looking for.
Yeah,
but is that enough?
Is that like having a pet who's dependable or is it like having a husband? That's what I'm not sure about.
Might be a bit of both.
Another couple going well, Adrian and Mark.
Very well. Yeah. They were very happy on the couch. All
they even,
good.
They even said they're very like physically well suited, didn't they?
Yeah.
Having fun on the honeymoon.
Yeah. Well, that was obvious at the time, wasn't it? He was saying what a good time he was having. They brought up the blip that they had on the honeymoon.
Yeah, and I think it is something they've got over. And I think he admitted, like, he doesn't think before he speaks, did he say? Or his words don't come out quite how he means them?
I think he said both.
Yeah.
I think he said, sometimes I don't think before I speak, but also sometimes my words come out muddled up.
Yeah, and I get that. Like, I do that all the time. You think after yourself, bloody hell, what did I say? Like when you've recorded a podcast.
And then you listen to it back.
I know, you're like, oh, shit. That sounded awful.
Yeah.
No, I think looks like they've worked that out.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a minor hiccup that was dealt with quite well at the time. Again, we didn't really see them at the dinner party because other than Adrian being awkward when Nathaniel...
They were overshadowed. Being on the spotlight.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see what Love and Hate Week is going to bring for them.
What actually is Love and Hate Week?
Well, I think from what we saw, it's list three things that you don't like about me.
I think. That's
I mean, I'm
be
sure
healthy.
There's more.
It feels like hate's quite a strong word.
Yeah, it's a lot.
I just
it's
want
harsh.
It to be called like and mildly dislike week because we can make this work. I don't hate you as a person.
Well, the bit I remember from the preview and a couple we've not spoken about yet was George and Peggy again with a video. another squatting video that she's going to see. And actually, George, I just saw this morning, has posted it. He said, this is the video that Peggy shows me in tonight's episode.
Is it the Tarzan thing?
I've not looked at it yet.
Ooh.
The squatting has become bigger than the spoon storyline of Terence and Portia.
Yeah. Squat a spoon, squat a spoon.
And plus, George is already feeling on the back foot because of the lack of intimacy from Peggy.
Yeah, but then he said, I've never had this before, but he hasn't been in a relationship before.
Yeah.
So his sexual experiences, and I don't want to assume, but I'm guessing, are interactions with girls he doesn't date or he hasn't been in serious relationships with. So maybe they are more like one night stands or flings or holiday romances and things where obviously it's a sexual thing because that's how you're drawn together.
Yeah.
So he hasn't had to maybe wait for someone to be ready. And this is a new experience for him. Yeah. So it's just new. It's just he hasn't had it before. And he said this is how she normally operates. So she must have said to him, oh, in a relationship, I normally want to wait a month or 2 months or whatever it is. So I guess it has to be compromised. You can't...
Yeah.
You can meet in the middle to some extent, but you can't... Neither one can force the other.
No. You wonder where they're going to go, don't you, now? I was fairly optimistic before, but it feels like this is becoming a bigger sticking point than perhaps we thought it might, and the squatting video is becoming a bigger sticking point as well. It's like they're becoming the two big bumps in the road.
I mean, I think this is going the way I kind of thought it would, actually, because he has had a period of being a bit of a yes man.
And now he's digging his heels in.
Because he thought at least by this point he'd be having some sex to make up for the fact that he's trying not to be so crass all the time, although I don't know if he's been successful at moderating his language, because Peggy suggested he's not.
She said it keeps setting her 10 steps back, and so I think she's being quite open and honest about why they're not being intimate. I'm curious, because he's worried now, does she fancy me? Well, that's what he's saying. So do you think behind closed doors they're snuggling up on the sofa and having kisses, and is she telling him she fancies him even though they're not having sex? Or is she holding back entirely, not holding his hand, not kissing him, not telling him she fancies him?
I feel like there must be something, because they sit, when we see them sitting together on the couch,
they're quite affectionate.
They're very close. Yeah. So I think it seems like that's not just for the commitment ceremony. Yeah. It seems like that's what they do. But maybe that's...
In which case, I'd be annoyed at George, because you don't need sex from someone to know they fancy them. If she's telling him, I fancy you, and kissing him and stuff like that, but saying, I'm not quite ready to sleep with you, that's a different kettle of fish entirely to being quite cold and not giving him anything to go on.
And I think it's difficult for us as viewers, because we're not seeing George with the group, really. So we're hearing Peggy say... you don't use crass language around a lady.
Around a lady.
He said, didn't she?
So old school. A lady can't hear those things. She'll wither up and die.
But she was saying that's what he does and he needs to learn that. But we're not seeing any of that. And also we know the group don't like George, but we don't really know why, because we're not seeing that either.
I guess we know enough from George that he does talk about quite crass things in front of her... We've seen it a handful of times, but I know what you mean about, is it continuous? Is he just, a big child in front of everybody all the time?
Yeah.
But then he has said himself, that's been his persona. He's been the entertainer. Yeah. He's been the single guy. He's been, trying to make everybody laugh. I don't know how many laughs he's actually got out of people, but...
It would seem not many.
it does seem like they're coming up to a bit of a bigger hurdle.
Yeah, I think so.
Is he giving her the ick? And is that why she can't... is all that crudeness and the squatting just giving her the ick, which she can't get over?
Yeah, it seems like it, doesn't it? And if she's now going to then watch the video next week as well.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're back, and I'm going to break the fourth wall for our listeners. We're sorry if that first half was absolute shite. It's because...
There was a naughty puppy, wasn't there?
He was going mental.
Because we have an adolescent dog.
He destroyed the rug. He was barking at Sarah, even though she's round twice a week.
He hates me.
You were banging into things left, right and centre.
Well, yeah, I have worse spatial awareness than him. So every time the table, yeah, oh gosh.
It's a bark of love.
Oh, bless him.
It's because he's so excited to see you. He and just doesn't know how to calm down.
He was going wild, wasn't he?
He was, and then...
Squeaky toys.
And then we spoke to Adrian, who is an amazing interview. He didn't hold back.
It's coming up at the end, and he spills the tea. He doesn't just spill the tea, he spills the coffee, he spills the cordial, he spills the wine. It's all coming.
Yeah, that's perked us up a bit.
Yeah.
But before we get to that, let's get back on track. So... It's like the episode of Married at First Sight last night. First half was a bit dull. And now we get into the good stuff.
I hope we've still got people listening at this point.
We just keep paralleling the episodes then, don't we? Remember after the chaotic dinner party, we were all a bit chaotic, weren't we?
I'm going to smash a glass and walk out.
Not that mug, we've only got one of them.
Okay, I won't smash the one.
So, did you want to start about Erica and Jordan?
Well, how much is there to actually say about Erica and Jordan?
But I liked her orange power suit.
The power suit was amazing.
I love a power suit.
But there was really just they asked about the Tasha thing a little bit. And then they're just getting on, aren't they? So I'm not sure how much really there is to say about them this week.
They're having very little screen time unless it's about Tasha, which is a shame because it does seem like they're doing quite well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But we can only know what we're told. So we're just seeing little snippets and it seems like they're absolutely fine.
Yeah.
I'd like to see more of some of the couples just to see how they're doing and less of this sort of like playground drama between people because it's unnecessary. We don't need that. That's not.
Yeah. We've seen more of Tasha and Erica than we have of Paul.
And Tasha.
And Tasha. And
Jordan.
And Erica. So I'd rather,
it's time to let go of that now. Whatever that
let tramps
was.
Be tramps.
Yeah. Let bygones be bygones and tramps be tramps.
Oh,
and let's move on.
I absolutely wasn't going to let go of that. Because I was going to say, even Tasha saying, oh, don't play the victim now.
I know. There was still a lot of eye rolling.
Erica was doing a lot of eye rolling, wasn't she, when Tasha was on the couch.
I almost don't want to give it any more airtime here because it's just like it rolls on and it's just distracting and it's annoying. Well, do you know what I mean? Because like we don't watch the show to see women fighting. Maybe you do, Omar. I don't know.
I can watch Made in Chelsea for that.
Exactly. I'm much more interested in how the couples are doing, but we just need to see a bit more.
Well, what do you think of something I've seen online is people starting to question Paul. I was like, how can he accept this behaviour? It's like, so that's more about them as a couple.
But they are just young, though. And I've got to remember that as well. Like, we're looking at this from, like, you know, 40/almost 40.
We're twice their age.
Yes. So, you know, if I was doing that, I don't think you perhaps would put up with it. But when you're like 25, 26, you know, it's a different world, isn't it?
Totally. But also, he's in a difficult position. Because he sort of has to back her to continue going at a good pace. But the healthy thing would be maybe challenge her lovingly on some of her behaviours. But maybe he doesn't feel like they know each other well enough to do that.
They've always got a challenge in private as well.
Oh, yes. This is what I said last night.
Yes.
So maybe it's
you stole my point again. Thank you very much. But this is what I said last night when we were watching it. Is at the dinner party, at the commitment ceremony, he has to be on her side,
you know, which he's
in inverted
well.
Commas.
You totally sold me out then in front of Sarah.
Yeah.
I thought you had all these amazing points.
We'll have this conversation in private. But then
challenge him behind closed doors.
Yeah, it has to be done when it's just the two of them. You can't do it in a crowd dinner party situation. It has to be on her side in that situation, really.
A lot of her anger seems to come from maybe feeling quite vulnerable or maybe have not had lots of support growing up, not been in healthy relationships. So actually him having her back is a really positive thing. Even though she's not even though she's been acting out, him having her back is maybe healthy in the long run.
Yeah.
For her to just settle into herself and not feel so threatened by newcomers. Yeah. Anyway, again, we're just talking about the bloody Erica and Tasha thing. And it's just rolling on, isn't it? I don't think we've seen the end of it.
Obviously, we've got to talk about Ella.
Ella, on the couch on her own.
Oh, of course, because she wasn't called up last, was she? She was called up on her own. Mm. I feel for Ella. It's a difficult one because I don't think she's like a villain. I don't want her to be painted as a villain. I can understand, like, to be rejected by Nathaniel, like, in terms of, like, attraction. She obviously then was looking for it elsewhere, which we've all been guilty of when we were younger, of, you know, you want to feel validated. And then to sit on the sofa on your own is really quite terrifying. You could see her almost shaking in her black paint and boots. I have more beef with JJ.
Right.
And less beef with Ella, but I still think she's acted wrong. But I felt for her a little bit.
I felt for her to some extent, definitely. But the whole thing of, I'm going to get to know him on the outside, so it doesn't matter.
It was quite defensive, wasn't it?
Yeah, there was a lack of contrition there.
Do you know what I wanted to talk about? At no point did they ask to stay in the experiment as a new couple. Do you think they were told off screen that it just wasn't going to happen? Because normally when a couple is like that, we've seen it before, they're like, oh, please, can we want to come back.
Yes.
And I would have thought, knowing the two of them, they would want to stay, want to come back, want to redeem themselves, be the sweetheart couple, or at least get more airtime. Mm-hmm. We didn't even see them ask. So I wonder whether that was either not shown or they were told they couldn't ask.
Yeah, because we did think that that could be a possibility, and it was sort of flatly refused before it had even been brought up.
I thought it was a guarantee that they'd ask, and I'm almost surprised if they did ask, it wasn't shown. Because that makes for quite good TV.
Yeah.
Them coming with like the begging bowl of like, please, can we come back? And then the experts saying, no, you've acted too badly. Because normally we see a couple ask and they're either allowed or not allowed. Yeah. And sometimes the experts even say, we will come back to you. We need to talk about it. And it becomes this huge thing of, will they, won't they? Mm-hmm. And the audience love it. But we weren't even shown that. So have they decided to stamp all that sort of thing out? Have they decided... no, we're not even going to give them the satisfaction of asking. You're not allowed to even ask. I don't know. I'm fascinated to know what happened because I think they would have asked.
Yeah, you feel like they would have because they keep saying, you know, there's a connection. We don't know what it is.
Connection. My sister texted me. She went, they've got about as much chemistry as I have with Louis Walsh.
Well, that is a random person to choose.
Well, I mean, everyone, including PCB, thinks he's thinking with his dick.
Well, I didn't know if we were going to come to that when JJ and Bianca are on the sofa, but that was a moment, wasn't it?
I do want to say I'm glad they didn't let them back in because I'm not on board with that. I don't like it when that happens. It hasn't happened in the UK one before, has it?
Yes, sir. That's Tori. I'm eating brownie.
Who? Whitney and Matt.
Whitney and Matt and was it named Adam and Alexis?
I think it's happened a couple of times. Sorry.
Ant and Alexis.
Omar's just having a little brownie. But Casey sounds claggy.
Sugar. So claggy.
It was Ant and Alexis. It has happened before.
Yeah, but I don't think Ant and Alexis qualify in this situation.
No.
Because they didn't cheat.
Nikita
in inverted had
left
commas.
At that point, I think.
Yes.
The thing is, it's
so
happened.
I don't think that counts. But the whole Matt and Whitney thing didn't work. People weren't
horrible.
On board with it. People didn't like
it. Was
it
was horrible, and Gemma was so slighted.
Let's get out of that habit.
It
of
feels
letting
like
them
maybe,
back in that
way.
I'm not on board with that.
Sorry.
So maybe they've decided actually it hasn't worked. Yeah. Let's not get too far down that habit of doing it every year. Let's do it differently this year.
Yeah, you're in the danger of it becoming so predictable that each year a couple are looking around and going like, well, who am I going to swap with to get more airtime? Mm-hmm. And obviously, but then the cynic in me is like, why aren't the producers loving that? Because it does make for good headlines. I'm surprised they weren't allowed back in, but you know.
Yeah.
Am I turning into more of a cynic as this podcast continues? I started off so in love with the Ever After. I was Peggy.
Especially when after you've heard some of the stuff Adrian says.
I know.
Oh, I haven't heard it yet.
It's to come at the end. You guys have to stay listening because he's got... Oh, yeah, he's great. We've talked about... And what do you want to say about Ella then? Because I felt like she was backtracking a bit on her apology.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't stand up as an apology if you then make excuses or... I don't know. I felt the same with JJ when we come to him. Like, both of their apologies rang quite empty because you can't say you regret something that you know that person would do given the chance again. Mm-hmm. You know that they'd act exactly in the same way, I think.
I think their apologies have always been like that, though, haven't they? From the first time they started apologising, it was, I'm sorry, but... We've got a connection. I'm sorry, but things weren't going well with my partner.
I think Paul
it's always been like that.
Cleared it up pretty quickly with like these messages. Who sent the first message? The messages you were sending. Did your partner know about it? No, they didn't. Did your partner know about your replies? No, they didn't. All right, so we're having an illicit affair going on. Mm. It's kind of cut and dried, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that's when Bianca called him a dickhead, which was very funny.
So I really loved that bit where Paul said. no, you have been thinking with your dick. Because we don't normally hear the experts. The experts seem to toe the line of like being really fair and professional and like maintaining a level of sort of distance and kindness and stuff. But actually, I've never seen them be quite, have I? He was really direct to JJ and was correcting him and said, no, if you're saying you needed a spark and you're saying that you couldn't give her the time of day, you were thinking with your dick. And I was like, go, Paul.
Well, he laid traps for him. He said, so what makes a relationship work? He goes, time and patience.
Oh,
he goes, well,
did you give time? No. Did you give patience? No.
We've got examples in the room of where people didn't have a spark. He just laid the traps for him and JJ
walked straight into it. He did. I think, you can imagine Paul was thinking of maybe like Ros and Thomas, where there was
Laura and Arthur. Yeah.
No immediate sparks, but actually they've worked really hard on it. And you're right, JJ just walked straight into the trap and it was quite satisfying TV to see him to hold to account. But actually given the chance, I think Ella and JJ would do exactly the same again. So I'm not sure if it was falling on deaf ears a little bit.
Oh yeah, it is. It's only for our benefit that we got to see that. Yeah. I don't think JJ is gonna learn anything from this.
No. And given that now they are both on the outside, do we know what's going on?
I was going to say, are they together?
No, actually.
Yeah, I would like to know what is going on.
I've almost not looked because it feels like a spoiler, but I guess they've left now.
So it'd be
interesting to see.
I really don't want to eat into the George video squatting time that I'm putting in at the moment.
Is that the priority?
Yeah, I've really got a few of those to get on with. I'm halfway through series three.
So. Series three. Is there a spoiler at the end? Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, JJ, I don't think JJ's really learned anything. It's such a shame because you come on this show and he did say, my normal type doesn't work. Mm. I'd like to be given someone different. Mm. He was given someone different. She was lovely. She was very open to him, even though he took his time. Yeah. He never really gave her a chance. It's all imploded. Mm-hmm. Poor Bianca. Has he learned anything? No. So it feels like a bit of a waste of time.
Remember on their honeymoon when the tide had sort of starting to turn against Bianca and we were like, why is she saying that she can't imagine life without him?
I know,
she'll have to now. I just think she was really invested in a way that made no sense to us because we saw what he was saying behind her back, I guess, bits to camera. He was like, I don't feel anything for her. But she wasn't hearing that from him because he was never direct with her. Mm-hmm. So I guess she was becoming more and more invested of like, we can make this work. And as a viewer, we were like, why do you care? What are you clinging to? There's nothing to cling to.
Yeah.
So I wanted to raise something. And again, I don't really like when the fourth wall is broken. I don't like spoilers. I like to watch as a pure fan. But Ella said something that was left in the edit, and it was something like, we weren't allowed. When Bianca said, you never told me, Ella said something like, we weren't allowed.
Right.
And I was thinking, shit, has this actually been all orchestrated where JJ and Ella, the producers obviously knew they're talking, and they were told not to tell Bianca?
Right.
I did not clock that.
I didn't clock it at the time, but there are people on our tweets who've been saying that
it was like a little yelp. It was like you could have definitely missed it because it was a little like, we weren't allowed, and she almost caught herself. But it was, the producers can't have been trying to hide the fact she said it because it was left in the show for you to hear. But I was quite shocked. I was like, did I hear that right? We weren't allowed is almost like a smoking gun of like, okay, so you actually were told not to tell Bianca.
Yeah, that's it's hard to, I mean, I'd have to watch it again. But I mean, given what Adrian said, would it be that surprising? I don't know.
No, I mean, part of me was surprised, part of me wasn't,
but
to
look,
be honest.
Yeah. Look, we know the producers are, obviously they knew, they set up that weird little meeting around the snooker table.
Hiya. You're right. Yeah, I know. I guess the producers, in their defence, might say, well, we told her not to say anything just in a text message or off camera. She was told to tell Bianca, or he was told to tell Bianca in a way that could be filmed.
Yes.
But maybe they used that as an excuse to wait until the dinner party. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It just felt like a bit of a smoking gun when I heard that. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was interesting. And obviously people have picked up on it on Twitter.
Definitely. I think this is one of those things where we're never going to know the truth.
Yeah.
Unless we've got all the footage. Mm-hmm. And again, I'm watching the George Swatton videos.
I've got the footage to trawl through.
And even if and when we talk to any of the current cast,
it's only their opinion.
Yeah, we're going to hear some conflicting stories, I'd imagine.
We are.
Do you think, on an aside, do we think Nathaniel should have showed up to the commitment ceremony?
Nah, fuck it. Why?
I do.
Do you?
Yeah, well, it's what you signed up for, isn't it? That's when you leave or that's when you stay. So I do think, you know, Bianca was there and she knew it was over between her and JJ.
That's true.
And, you know, Ella was there, but she knew it was all over as well. So I think it's part of the process that you sign up for.
Well, we've talked a little bit about how in the press, Nathaniel has said a little bit about how he felt sort of coerced into even being on the show, maybe wanted to be put with a guy rather than a woman, and maybe he literally thought, well, this whole thing's been a facade, and to appear on the commitment ceremony is part of the facade. I've just given up entirely. Whereas someone like Bianca might be still sold into the process and still part wants to be part of the show, but it's just like, it's a shame that I was put with JJ, but I still buy into MAFS as a brand. Whereas Nathaniel's like,
make a stand at the very end.
He's probably concerned about, like, how much more ammunition am I going to give them to use against me?
Yeah, and he does seem quite principled on, like, you know, he sticks to sort of, for better or worse, during the show, he's stuck to sort of his views.
Yeah.
And I think he would say that, like, to appear would have been two-faced when he's done. But I agree with you because, like, it's a shame for Ella to sit there on her own.
Yeah.
The other thing I wanted to bring up was that Brad has been posting, you know, talking about the edit, etc., which is sort of related to what we've just been talking about. And someone who's leapt to his defence commenting on his posts is Harrison from MAFS Australia, Redface Harrison.
Red flag Harrison.
Oh, dear.
Wow.
They can have each other. They're welcome to each other.
And his comments are like, don't bother trying to explain to these idiots. It's just 30-year-old women who don't have fat women who don't have partners, and soy offensive boys, which is a
term. What are soy boys?
It's a term coined by Andrew Tate, I believe.
People who have, like, vegans or men in touch with their emotional side.
Oh, shocking.
It felt very Andrew Tate. It felt very, like, Piers Morgan defends Andrew Tate, defends Russell Brand. Anyway.
Again, stay tuned for the interview with Adrian. We've got Love and Hate Week coming up.
We do.
Conflicting sides.
So let's see how that impacts how our pod is on Friday. Is there going to be some love and hate going on in this room?
Well, I love you guys, but I fucking hate the dog.
Not all the time, you don't.
No. So for now, goodbye from me, Omar Abid.
Goodbye from me, Sarah Clark.
Goodbye from me, Claire Limerabeed.
Goodbye from me, Bagel. Ruff.
See you later.
Stop thinking with your dick.
Oh, he's too young for that.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
So now Sarah and I are joined by one of last year's participants, a MAFS favourite, I would say. Everyone's very excited when they heard he's coming back on to talk to us about this year's series, Adrian Sanderson.
Hi, Adrian.
Yeah. Hiya, how are you?
I'm good. And if people aren't watching, he's wearing a beautiful little necklace, a big beautiful blonde quiff. I've missed your face.
Oh, thanks.
I liked watching
I'm going to be on next week's episode. They're marrying me again, you say. No, I'm not. I don't know if I would be able to mentally do that.
Are you still recovering from last year?
Yes. Yeah, I actually am, you know. I mean, to be fair, though, I will always stand by. It was a great experience. I'll never regret it.
Oh, good. And are you watching this year as a fan?
I'm watching this year.
But not as a fan.
Do you know what? Since doing it, there's some elements of it that I'm like, I'm not a fan of this. I think you see it through different eyes as well. So that becomes, do you know who's really ticking me off a lot this season? The experts.
Oh,
they are like, do you know what? I would challenge them to have a chat with me. Like, they tick me off. Like, I felt really disappointed in actually how JJ was spoken to on last night's episode. I was like, that's awful.
Oh, like, really?
You are really hammering at him. And from what I've seen, he has tried to be as honest as he can. I don't think it's a great situation. And I think Bianca absolutely did not deserve any of that. But I don't know that he deserved to be spoken to the way that Paul spoke to him.
Right, this is good. We've started already. Right, let's, because I will say, when you say he's tried to be as honest as he can, the main contention is he didn't tell Bianca what was going on with Ella until the dinner party.
And I absolutely agree that that is very, very wrong.
But also, it wasn't even him who told her in the end. He was challenged by Nathaniel and had to say something. I think my problem with him, Adrian, is that he didn't actually ever try to get to know Bianca. He was put with her and he sort of wrote her off straight away.
Yep.
And there's an element, and I actually was on, you might hate me for this, but I was on Paul's side. Obviously, you'd never expect the experts to sort of lay into them. So it was quite an element of it being quite full on. Yeah. But I was on Paul's side because I think JJ had to be held to account of, like, you applied to this program. You asked to be put with someone who's not your usual type. That's what we did. Bianca's lovely. She gave you every chance. And he didn't actually ever ask her any questions about herself, look to find an attraction there, see what they had in common. That was my frustration with him.
Yeah, I can get it. Like, I can see frustrations from all sides. I just think, for me, I found it, maybe it was just triggering being shouted at by Paul, because I've been shouted at by Paul. I didn't appreciate it, don't like it. But I thought he really went heavy in on him. And I think there's been a lot of other things that you really didn't go heavy on people for. Probably deserved it a little bit more.
So that's interesting. I guess, like, it's so different for us watching because we haven't had the experience of sitting on the couch and feeling very sort of exposed, I guess. So you're watching as somebody who's been on the show. You've had some dramatic storylines. You've had ups and downs. And then you're watching it. Are you watching it with, like, lots of adrenaline? Are you able to relax with a drink, or are you just watching through?
Yeah, I do think I'm just watching it as a viewer. Like, right. I think I see it differently. Like, when they do their voxes, which is when they have their private conversations, I can always hear the question they've been asked. I know what, like, I can hear it because you get into such a rhythm with doing those things. It's crazy. We do voxes, like, you'll do like three a day. Even though there's only like the odd couple per episode, you do a lot of them. So you get used to that sort of thing. I would say that I'm watching it with maybe some pessimistic eyes at times. Yeah. I'm like, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. That's a load of bullshit. Like,
were you tempted not to watch it?
No.
Never. I wouldn't go that far.
And I wouldn't say that I was tempted not to watch it at the beginning. I think there's been a couple of points where I'm like, this is actually somewhat exhausting at times to watch this. I think because it does bring up, one minute I'm just watching as a viewer, so actually I take my first answer back.
Yeah,
I actually do get a bit exhausted watching it sometimes because it brings a lot of things back. You know, the dinner parties and everything, they look exactly, everything looks the same, even though it's in a different place and different cast, it still gives you certain, like, feeling.
I can totally imagine the feeling that you must get of being triggered. And as well, do you feel like you're just watching it and being much more savvy of, like, right, like you said, they're asking a certain question to get that Vox response. Do you think there's a level of manipulation that we're not aware of?
I am never going to be a person who will go down the manipulation edit producer's route just because I was asked to do and say an awful lot of things. And I said no.
Okay.
So anything that I said on that show, anything that I did on that show, my choice.
Okay.
So, you know, so many people will say, oh, but the producers told me to say it. Okay.
You did say it.
So
full disclosure for the listeners, we're sort of halfway recording our portion of the episode.
Because your dog wouldn't shut up.
Dog wouldn't fucking shut up. I'm going to kill him. So I've not actually brought it up, but the listeners will hear that before I'm saying it now. Yesterday, Harrison from the Australian series has been posting on Brad's videos and showing him support and things like that. And their common thing is the edit. Look, they clip these different bits of audio together. But if you refuse to say what they've told you to say in the first place.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess. Oh, wait, hang on. No.
No, no. Because the Australian version is very different. They have wildly different laws than we have.
Interesting. So
the Australian edit, I firmly believe Harrison got screwed. I speak to Harrison quite a lot.
Right.
Unlikely friends. I have a lot of love and a lot of time for Harrison. I think that man got screwed.
This is a controversial opinion you're raising here, Adrian.
Listen, I'm never shy of them.
No.
If I have something to say, I don't say much, but if I have something to say, then I'm happy to say it.
So the headline is you hate Paul Brunson, you love Harrison.
I don't hate Paul Brunson. I've had a lot of nice times with Paul Brunson. I just find it, I would like to hold them accountable.
Okay.
But with some of the choices they make.
With the Harrison thing, I'm fascinated by that because obviously, I mean, we won't go too much into it. It's a different series, but when someone comes across as quite manipulative and gaslighting and all those sort of things, are you saying that the producers have that power to create a monster out of somebody who's relatively nice?
They have different, like, they can do whatever they want on the Australian one. You know, you can say something on the 1st of the month and they'll air it that you said it on the 21st of the month.
Right.
They can't do that in England.
It has to be chronological.
It has to be chronological. If I said that in Dinner Party 3, then I said it in Dinner Party 3 and I can sue you if you move it. And if I say to Susan, if I say something to Susan and they show me saying it to Mark, I can sue them.
Okay.
But in Australia, I can say something to Susan and they can show me saying it to Mark and I can't sue them.
Wow, that's wild. So,
that's really interesting.
Yeah.
That's really...
And like...
You really cannot... I understand. You know, I had a lot of followers message me and say, I'm not going to watch this new series after the Australian one, the edit and what Harrison has revealed about everything. And I'm like, no, kids, it ain't the same. Like, that is not to say that the edit can't... You know, I think a wild example of the edit in our series right now would be Roz. Like... She just looks like this quite quiet, quite meek person. She is wonderful and vibrant and happy and wild energy in a room, and she's not getting that. That is not being shown. But that's almost more about airtime.
Mm-hmm. That's an interesting example because obviously in her first thing to camera, week one, she was like, I'm this big, crazy character. And then we didn't see that play out. So then we're questioning her judgment of herself because like, well, you said you were wild. Mm-hmm. We haven't really seen that. But obviously we're all grown ups. So we can understand there's an edit. But I think you do suspend your disbelief a little bit when you're watching and you're spoon fed what they want you to see. And there's an element of like when you're watching TV, you want to turn your brain off a little bit. So you're just allowing it to.
It does make sense with Roz because, she seemed quite mild. And then next thing we hear about the spin the bottle is that she's scissoring Jay for half an hour. And then it's last night was the big box of sex toys.
Which seems to come out of nowhere. And you're like, oh, interesting.
This is wild. She's so much fun. She's my favorite, one of my favorite humans in this cast, 100%. She's so wonderful. I couldn't find a bad word to say about the woman. Besides, she did beat me in Monopoly the other day and I was very upset.
So have you become quite pally with the current contestants?
I speak to Roz quite a bit. Yeah, I speak to a few of them quite a bit. I speak to George quite a bit as well.
Do they look to you for advice as like big brother of you've been through it already?
Yeah, I think they did at first. I think now they're finding their feet. You know, you have to get used to it quite quickly. You've got no choice.
How many baguettes do you have to collect to interact with George?
I don't enter into that conversation with him. I find it ridiculous. Then I also, again, another controversial opinion, maybe. I think he gets a real hard time for a lot of things that he says. And it's like, it's so offensive. And I'm like, no, it's not. You might not like it. It might be a bit silly.
Yeah.
It's not like he's making porn.
No,
even if
he was, exactly.
That's okay, babe. Like, yeah,
maybe if it was human trafficking, but no, yeah. I totally know what you mean, because I mean, what turned me off from George was week one when he kept talking about her boobs and she could just be this big walking pair of boobs. But I think ever since then, there's been a sort of gentleness to him that it's not like he's really aggressive with his views and stuff. He just says things, and like, it was Peggy who brought up to her mum that he was into rimming, and that was so unnecessary because George wasn't going to say it. He read the room, and then it was just...
Well, that feels like Claire, my wife, has said a couple of times that like the whole OnlyFans conversation on their honeymoon seems like a producer going, bring that OnlyFans conversation up that you had earlier, bring that up now.
Well, she seems personally upset by it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't out of nowhere.
So maybe a producer did say it,
yeah.
But she seemed like it was her issue to bring up, not the producers.
Do you think
about? And I'm like, what? You're really offending all these OnlyFans creators, and I know quite a few.
Oh, of course. Do you think going into this show, you need to have a really strong sense of self, so that, like you did, when a producer tells you you should say this, you can say, "Well, no, I'm not going to say that because it's not true to who I am." Do you think there's people who shouldn't be going on this because they're too vulnerable or they haven't quite grown up enough to do it?
Yeah, I think you have to be a real sort of person to be able to deal with this sort of show. And, you know, while filming it, you need to take care of yourself and make sure that you are not being manipulated by producers. I'm never going to blame a producer for trying to manipulate me. You know, there was one particular one, and every time he spoke, I was like, you're one little bastard, you. You're a little bastard. Like, and I would just laugh at him because he'd have his go. He'd be like, oh, go on, say that. And I'd be like, no.
Amazing.
Like, I would just laugh at him, and you could see the grin, knowing that he pissed me off, and he'd still say it, and he'd know that I wasn't going to say it, but he'd try his luck. That's his job. That is his job. And you know, the producers are there to maintain the storyline, and yes, they're going to push for it, but it is television. Like, I find it a little shocking sometimes when people are like, I can't believe this happens. I'm like, you did sign up for a TV show, babe.
I've seen a lot of people comparing you to Sean.
Yes. I've seen that as well. I think it's... See, Mark and Sean at the moment, it looks a bit like he's the meanie, he's the nice one.
No, I was just saying, actually, that I'm quite surprised, because I was expecting not to like Mark because of how much of a diva he was first presented as, but it was really nice to see him last night, sort of having a... It seems like they're doing a lot better than I thought they would. It feels like it needs a few... stable couples, because it's been so dramatic, you know.
Chaotic.
We're getting bogged down in, did Erica avoid Tasha's hug? Or,
I've said this a few times. I'm like, why am I not seeing any development of couples? Why is it starting to feel like Big Brother?
Yeah.
And you're all just screaming at each other about who's the fakest.
Yeah.
Like, that seems to be the major plot in the show. Who is the fakest? Like,
and it's such a shame. It really derails the whole point of the program. And yeah, we joke about loving the drama, but really I want to see the couples develop. And I'm fascinated by that from like a human point of view.
If you think from the casting point of view, they're a lot younger. You know, they're trying to hit that younger demographic, is my guess. You know, you miss out on a lot of other different levels. And for the first few weeks, I was like, geez, like, this is heavy, heavy. Like, I need some light entertainment. Mm. I need some funny things. You know, at least George was actually bringing some light moment. You know, he was making me laugh. I wasn't getting many laughs from the show. And I think that you should get some silly moments.
Well, I always think about Kwame from your series was that, you know, he was portrayed as sort of a villain, but he wasn't really, I mean, I quite liked him, especially after talking to him. But even if he was a villain, he was always quite entertaining. It was funny. It wasn't like anything that bad.
Bad, was it? You know, what's really interesting from like our point of view, right, is when you actually watch the show on TV, which you only see it when it comes on TV the same time as anyone else, one of the most interesting parts is about seeing the other couples and what you perceived when you were there.
Right.
To what they chose for you to perceive when you were there, to what actually happened behind closed doors. And Kwame and Keisha, I was like, every time they were on screen, I was like, I never knew, like, this was completely different to how it played out in front of anyone else's eyes. And when they were behind closed doors, I honestly never for one second did I see Kwame becoming any level of villain.
Right.
At all. And then I think at the very end, it became about who's going to play the better game to screw the other one over.
That sounds like, you know, at the very end, who's going to be cleverer. That sounds like the first thing that came to mind was Portia's little speech with Terrence about, like, babe, look at me.
Oh, that smelly bullshit. Like, babe. Oh, wow. Wow. Wowza.
Who are you liking on this season? Who are you rooting for? Because do you know, I presume you're just watching as a viewer and you don't know. Oh, you might know more than us because you're friends with them.
I do know a bit.
Okay, don't reveal any. No spoilers, please, Adrian. Behave yourself. But who do you like as if you're watching now and you didn't know?
I really love George, actually. But I think that is also just to do with that level of light entertainment. And like, me and Sophie had him on our podcast and I had him on the boobs thing. He then on to say, like, oh, this is like boys talk. I'm like, not a good enough excuse.
Yeah, well done.
So I get what you're saying about the boob thing, but I had him on that. But I'm really enjoying George. I guess from me knowing Ross, I'm like, I really want you to come. I want what I know of you to come through the screen.
Sort of flying under the radar a bit, Arthur. I think Arthur's quite funny, but only because he doesn't know what's going on.
I love Arthur, you know. I find him so sweet. When Laura's brother came in the other day, I was like, that's horrible. You're really mean.
What, the friends? Her friends?
Really mean.
Yeah, it was unnecessary. I agree.
Not nice at all. And I almost wanted to say, like, knock, do you think this looks good on you?
I know, yeah.
You look terrible right now.
I know, Arthur's coming across really... And actually, I really like them as a couple so far. Remember back when he... and they were playing tennis right at the beginning. She was like, take your top off. Like, there does seem to be, like, a level... Anyway, we just don't know what's going to happen. You cannot predict it. That's the problem.
I need to get pictures up of these people because I'm trying to, like, think of who I'm enjoying and who
I'm
not.
Well, we haven't talked about Tasha and Paul.
No, we haven't. But we don't see enough of them.
Well, the problem, Adrian, like you were saying, is they've been, like, sweethearts of the show and then it's been derailed by the drama she's been having with Erica, which is so unrelated and it's just a shame. It just really distracts you. And it shows a side that we don't necessarily like. And I feel sorry for Paul because he's being drawn in to have her back. You just want to draw a line under that because it's not nice drama. It's quite icky. It's quite icky playground drama. It's not enjoyable.
It's not very pleasant. And, you know, it's probably had more airtime than their relationship has.
Yeah.
Like... I go back to, I want to see the relationships develop. Like, it's difficult for me to go, I thought that happened in ours, because I did think it happened in our season. I did think that we saw relationships develop more in our season, but there's also like 50 of these. So many of them. You know, you've got to keep up with them all. There's new ones coming now, and I'm like, I'm still trying to catch up with these two.
Well, it's like Sarah said on our last episode that Matt and Adrian and Sean and Mark have never met Shona
and Brad. Shona and Brad, who've been one of the biggest storylines, have long gone, and there's new people who don't even know who they are. And you think, how long have we been watching this? It's only been 4 weeks, 5 weeks.
Well, I know. It's crazy, isn't it? There's a lot of them. Maybe we need to shuffle a couple out now. Like,
I think they're gradually leaving, aren't they?
I'm surprised. I thought there was going to be more people leaving. Well, I suppose Nathaniel left.
Well, I was going to ask Adrian, you,
Adrian.
To spill the tea on, are you siding with mummy or daddy in the divorce with Ella and Nathaniel? Are you allowed to say?
I can say what I want.
Or do you split custody? Do you spend weekends with dad and weeks with mum and you love them both equally?
I love them both equally. I find it a massive... Oh, gosh, here we go. Gosh. I find it a massive shame that they haven't ended as allies, as a person from the queer community. I wish so much that that had been presented better. I think they were both in tricky situations and just weren't gelling together. I think there's nothing wrong with Ella saying, do you know what? I really fancy this other guy and he's not into... I think had they dealt with the cheating thing better, I wouldn't have had a problem with it. Like when Matt cheated on Gemma, he came over to me at the dinner party. This wasn't aired. And I was like, your problem is, mate, Whitney went and told Duca before the dinner party and you never told Gemma. Yeah. That's my issue. That's my only issue. You've got to be respectful. You know, I mean, this sort of does kill the illusion of the show, I guess, what I'm about to say. But, you know, people are like, that's my wife. I'm like, it's not though, is it? Like, you just met half an hour ago. No. Like, come on. Not your wife, is it? Like, you take the ring off, it's gone. It's a costume.
Oh, God.
Like, do you know what I mean? Like,
I do. So
when you, but, and it's so hard because, you know, if they really do like each other, but you should have been more respectful. Should have told Bianca, 100% should have spoken to Bianca, should have spoken to Nathaniel. I think that they could have amicably managed the whole thing.
I agree. And
probably got blessings from the other partners, I think. I think it's sad for Bianca, especially because she's in, you know, you commit so much of your life to this and she gets...
I don't know if Bianca would have given her blessing, not because she's a horrible person, she's a gorgeous person, but she was invested. Whereas I think Nathaniel might have done because he didn't want to be with Ella romantically anyway. Or that was made clear from the edit we saw anyway. I know what you mean about the allies thing, because it was so gorgeous to watch Ella on screen as an openly beautiful, confident trans woman, and to see her journey was just, it was lovely. And then again, to use the word derailed, it got a little bit derailed by that drama at the end, but actually she'd been this brilliant character on screen. It'd been quite moving at the beginning when we'd seen her relationship with her mum and dad.
I sobbed.
Yeah, me too. And how gorgeous was she? She really lit up the screen. And then, I don't know, it was a shame then, because most people will now remember the drama rather than the person.
Yeah, we should still be talking about Nanny Val and a rum and toast, you know?
No, I find it so sad. I actually find it like very sad, the whole thing. I find it sad for Nathaniel. But then when it comes to Ella, you know, she. I think they've both actually had quite, you know, tough journeys in life. Okay. To leading up to where they are now, I would say that they both have, just very different. So that's why it actually makes me puts me in a sad place. But, you know, for Ella, I'm not going to begrudge. I'm never really going to begrudge her finding someone. She has worked more than many of us have to be the person she wants to be.
Right, yeah.
She finds someone who she is very attracted to, both physically, emotionally, intelligently. I'm not going to begrudge her of it ever. Like, I know it wasn't the most perfect way of doing it. Mm-hmm. I get it. And I don't agree with it. And I never will. I do not like cheating and I do not like deceit. I'm very much a straight talking person.
Mm.
But I also just can't judge her on it.
I'm loving you, Adrian. You're so honest.
Sorry.
No, I love it.
Yeah, it's good. A couple of things sort of behind the scenes, which we speculated on, but you'll be able to answer. Are those old phones that they give you just purely?
I've got about four of them.
Really?
Yeah, and you have to understand the jealousy in the cast, because some of those phones have got Snake.
And some don't.
And some don't. Some don't. And this is very serious. Like, this was a serious thing. Like, people were pissed off. I've got about four because I lost them constantly.
Have you kept some?
Oh, all my little burner phones. Yeah, they're out there.
Stop
it.
You could be a criminal superstar with like burner phones.
I am.
Can I ask a question just about like day-to-day life living on MAFS? Because do you leave the apartment much? Do people go, like, because is there a gym in the building? And are you encouraged just to stay put? Because sometimes I think, why aren't people going for walks? Why aren't people doing anything fun? Is it very much you're encouraged to stay in the building?
You're encouraged to stay in the building. As you know, near the end, it loosened a bit. But at this point, you know, it also, it came to a point, you know, like, I wasn't a dick. So if I said, I'm just going to pop out, I would go and let them know.
Yeah.
And I would pop out. And so, they knew that I was, you know, you build a level of trust and respect to each other, but they have a level of responsibility for you. And, you know, they need to know where you are. But at least the first 5-6 weeks, I would say, you know, my general morning would be, if I wasn't filming straight away, I would go to the producer's office and I'd give it a little knock and I'd say, can someone come to prep with me? And I would go to prep. And so we would go together.
So it is like a prison type.
It's not like a prison. It's not like a prison, because if you want to go out, you go out.
Okay.
I need to go for a walk, you go for a walk.
Okay.
I need to go to shops, we go to the shops.
But you get permission to leave.
Yeah, and as the trust builds, like I say, as the trust builds, you're like, okay, me and Zoe are going to go to Zara.
Right.
To get an outfit for tonight. There's no producer available. Are we all right to go? Yeah, sounds no problem. And then, you know, what time will you be back? As long as you, you know, it's just about respect. It was just about respecting each other.
Okay.
Respecting, you know, because while saying it's a prison, it's not a prison, but you did sign up to do a job.
Yeah.
Okay. And they need you at different times, you know, and something could just happen.
Yeah.
And then boom, they go, right, we need Adrian to do a vox on this because right. He's going to be the most articulate. Or we need Gemma to talk about this now. And so they need you. Like, you need to be around and you're getting paid. You are paid.
Right. So the second part of my question was, if you're then in the building most of the day, is that when this like, it builds this feeling of quite this intensity, and does it get really boring? Or does the time fly?
No boring, no time whatsoever. You know, filming, it's long.
Yeah, okay.
But dinner parties, commitment ceremonies, they're extremely long days,
Right.
I suppose what I wanted to link that to is then you're busy, but then you're also encouraged to stay inside. Is this how you end up with these crazy spin the bottle parties where everyone's just sort of seems
like uni halls, isn't
yeah,
it?
Exactly.
It's like uni halls, and you know what? I miss it so much. I love that. Like Shanita over there and Zoe over there. Although, I mean, the worst part about that building was the lift. The lift, I've said it 1,000 times, the lift, because you press that button and you just do not know who's going to be in it when it opens. And you were like petrified, like, oh, great, it's Matt and Whitney, great.
I think I forgot that there'd be so much filming involved for short clips. And actually, I was picturing people just sat in these apartments with each other, just bored out of their brains. Like, no.
That's why the snake was so crucial.
No, and you're also encouraged to, like, you know, there's a responsibility that you have to have a certain amount of exercise.
Right.
So you're encouraged, you go for a walk. Like, okay. We are taking you for a walk, especially for the first few weeks. It was, we are now walking.
Oh, really?
Go. Yeah.
In a group with the producers?
Well, you would go, usually, like, you would go with your husband.
Right, okay.
Oh, right, okay. They don't take you all out in bibs and,
like... You know, when you see a nursery, when they're all in, like, the reins, like, joint up, like a little
yeah.
parade.
No, it's nothing like that. And it really is until you've sort of built up that trust, you know. But then also, you know, people would just dip and disappear.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple of our cast members who then just dipped and no one knows where they are. And then that's a responsibility and a concern.
Gosh, yeah.
So for me personally, it was just about communication. And also, I quite liked... Like, I got on really well with the producers.
Okay.
So I'm like, come on, let's go for a coffee. Like, lovely. Lovely. Day. I love getting up in the morning and going for my little walk to prep.
Little routine.
Okay.
So with you having a bit of inside knowledge, have we got a lot more to look forward to for the rest of this series?
No, shit. Yeah, there's obvious. There's definitely going to be a few bangers on
the way. Hell.
Do you think we've seen the most dramatic dinner party?
No.
Oh my god!
I mean, I think there'll be maybe another one that might compare, but that was, I mean, unpleasant. Didn't want to be there.
I don't know. I still remember the artwork that I was choosing to promote this interview with you. I did consider the one where you told Whitney you're done and got the one of you back to saying fuck off.
Do you know what? I still find it funny that I was like the fairly, you know, placid chap all the way through, and then final dinner party I just went no! There you fucking go, Abby.
Oh, what a pleasure to talk to you. You're a breath of fresh air. I'll tell you what, you are. You're a breath of fresh air.
That was there was a lot of really interest for the edit.
I know. Thank you. The
experts, loads of stuff. Harrison.
And you've got me excited to watch more because there's more to come.
No, thanks for having me. I don't know how much trouble I'm going to get in. You're going to hate me after this one.
No.
No, that's fine. It won't cause us any trouble, mate. It's fine.
Baby bay.
All right. Well, of course. We appreciate your time. We appreciate your honesty. And we'll all be watching tonight at 9 p.m.
Thank you, Adrian.
Thank you, sweetheart.
I hope that this week's a little calmer.
We shall see.
Right, thank you so much.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.